All right, this is week two. I'm excited to go through Ephesians. By the way, like Pastor Colby said, if you go to the Church Center app, we have our sermons there online. People are still asking me. Yes, they're recorded. They're on our website. And then we provide devotional guides and resources. So if you want to engage with the message outside of today, because all the learning stats say you only get 10% of what you're going to hear today, so we try to give you the other 90% by those resources so you can engage with the Word. Because here, we don't want to just inform you, which we're going to talk about today. We want to help you encounter God. So we're going to preach it. We're going to teach it. We're going to give you nuggets, and then we hopefully resource you. And then I want to encourage you guys, even though it's summertime and some life groups are taking off, life groups are really where you want to get connected. There's only so much I can impart to you on this 30-minute message, but life groups, getting in community, serving together, that's where you see life on life. That's where you see the encounter and the growth happen. All right, so we went from talking about identity last week, but by the way, I want to give you a little nugget as you read through Ephesians and not only the New Testament. As you talk about identity, we see Christ forms us. We are God's workmanship, as the scripture says. Actually, the if you want to get academic, poema is the Greek word, it means poem. So we're God's workmanship that he crafted. We are something special to him individually, and he is sanctifying us. That's that big word that means growth, that you're growing in his image. But also, if you look at the New Testament, there's not only an individual growth and identity, there's a collective group identity. We forget that a lot of times. I mentioned last week, for God so loved the world. Yes, you can insert your name that God loves you, but also we got to be careful that we don't make ourselves like we're the apple of God's eye only, that it's just us and we become a needy person, or we make God this needy, emotionally needy being. God created you. You have individual identity in Christ, but also we have group identity. The church matters, and we grow in that community. So we have that identity declared, and now we're going to see vision today and what God has already done. We talked about that last week. Go back and listen to it. So today I want to hope you can see it, feel it, and live into it. So you know who you are individually and corporately. Now we want to say, can you see it? Remember those things I know on social media or as a fad back in the day, these kind of red and blue like images, and you had to strain really hard, and there was a purple giraffe in there. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, okay, good. I guess if you're red blue colorblind, you're not, or red-green colorblind, you couldn't see those things, but you're like, oh, can you see it? Matter of fact, I'm going to give a quiz today. I'm not going to say anything. You're going to ask Charity later on. There's actually something different about this stage today when you see it. Because I didn't see it this morning, and I'm going to see if you guys notice it. You guys have been here a while. You might, and now you're probably going to pay attention to that and not the sermon, so we'll talk about that later on. That's probably my bad. But when you see it, it's like, oh, and then you can't unsee it, right? So the big idea today is that the Christian life, this life we live as Christ followers, is not just about what is true. God's word is true and truth. It's about learning to see what is already true. So where did we go last week? Well, last week, recap it, we saw that God chose us, God adopted you, you get family. You don't get just salvation, you get a family. Remember that group identity. So we get a family with God, we're back in his good graces and in his family, that we're his children and we get each other. So we've been adopted into a family. And then he redeemed you. And then all of that, it's a beautiful testimony of the words that God sealed you. Your salvation in Christ is sealed. Right, you can do stupid stuff, you can be like your children and run amok or whatever, but it doesn't change that you're a child. Now, we can do things that really strain our relationship. We can go, like, he'll let us pay the stupid tax if we want. But we say yes to him, when we are born again, those two beautiful young ladies that said yes to Jesus yesterday, they are sealed and have a future promise. Now, along the way, can they make some bad decisions? Absolutely they can. Many of us make bad decisions as Christians. But our salvation is secure and it is sealed, and he's always calling us back, and he's always reminding us when we do pay the stupid tax, because we have that group identity, because we have individual identity, he's going, hey, remember Simba? Like, you forgot who you are. Remember who you are. Love Lion King. I cried at it. One of the first movies I ever cried at. Just, you know, a little vulnerable thing. I give it to you. Oh, you guys, Lion King got me, man. Mufasa shouldn't have died. It was just a bad thing. All right. So we have that group identity. We are sealed. And if you notice, the theme in that is that your life didn't start with you. It started with God. Remember, you're here, but you didn't have anything to do with your conception and your birth, right? Just want to check that biology. You are here, but our salvation starts with God. But there's a problem. You can hear all of that. We can hear the truth. We come on Sunday mornings. People all over the world, Christians, come and hear truth all the time. We can still hear it and still not live like it's true. So the real problem is not information, because we have tons of it. Anybody feel a little overloaded with information? Like, you can click on anything you want and get all the information you want. Different disinformation, misinformation, all, I mean, we don't even know what's going on. AI can create stuff now that's like so real. We have information overload. The problem isn't information. The problem is vision. Because you can know something in your head and not experience it in your life, like algebra. My wife's a math teacher. She's a phenomenal math teacher. I actually have a math degree, but that's only because my kids laugh at me. I'm not a math teacher, but I can do some numbers. But algebra, right? They lied to you. You're going to use this in real life one day. I think algebra has emotional issues, right? I mean, X is always confused and needing his problem solved. What is, like, what's wrong? I thought this is math. And Y is just over there. Why? Yeah, I get it. And then Z is like your friend in the group project that doesn't do anything. It's like, hey, I'm over here. Solve me too. Right? Algebra, you guys don't get this. But I thought there was a lot of engineers in here. Come on, help me out, Drew. There's engineers in the house. We were told we could use algebra. You know it in your head. But have you experienced it at Target yet? Did you solve a linear equation when you went to Target? I don't know. My wife may do that because she calculates all the stuff when we go shopping. But like algebra. How about some real world examples? You can know that you're loved. You can know it. You can be told, I love you. Somebody can say, I love you, but you still feel rejected. You can know that you're forgiven. We talk about God forgave you. You can hear it all day long. You're forgiven, I'm forgiven, and yet we still live in shame. We still live ashamed. You can know the truth. You know how many people know information, know the truth? Satan himself quoted God's word back to Jesus. Remember when he was tempted? You can know the truth, but still feel stuck. So what we're going to read today is Paul is not going to say and not going to pray that he wants us to learn more. We're going to see that he's praying that our eyes are opened. Because information does not change you. Revelation does. Is the revealing of your eyes being opened. You don't just need the truth just said. You need to see it. So we want you at this church to go beyond hearing a message, reading some words. We want you to engage with it, encounter God. We want you to see the truth and the revelation of his word. So let's jump into Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to pick up in verse 17 today. And if you've been on our prayer call twice a month, which by the way, we're going to bump that prayer call to 6:30 a.m. so some of you guys can get 30 minutes more sleep. And we're going to add an evening time for all you folks that need to get on the evening call. But I say that because if you've been on our call, we pray this, we read this prayer a lot in our prayer call because Paul, the word already gives us a lot of kind of places to model. Psalms, great place to pray. Paul had a lot of prayers that we can model, we can pray those back. And this is one of them. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, remember he's praying this, he's writing this prayer down for his friends. The Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. Just pay attention to the highlights, that the God, remember, it's about him, what he did, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, having the eyes of our hearts enlightened. He's praying for believers, not unbelievers right here. He's praying for his friends that have said yes to Jesus because you can belong to Jesus and still not fully see what you have. Remember, Judas betrayed him. Remember, Thomas doubted him. Both Judas and Thomas belonged and followed Jesus. They were called his disciples. So you can belong and not still fully see what you have. The old cliche, you don't know what you got until it's gone. But this eyes of your heart, what does he mean by these eyes, this kind of cryptic kind of eyes of your heart? Well, it's not just this intellectual thing. I get it. We have a lot of smart people in the peak of good living. I mean, we know a lot of cool stuff. You can fix a lot of things. A lot of engineers, a lot of sciencey people, a lot of people that understand business and finance. Like, you guys have got some really awesome degrees and awesome understanding and revelation of information and knowledge. But this eyes of your heart to be open is not to just become smarter, and you'll know how to do tasks better. It's this deepening awareness, a deep, deep down awareness of this inner perception of discernment. Is that you have spiritual clarity, not just earthly smarts and wisdom. It's not just about having street smarts, that when I go down a dark alley, I kind of know what to do and where to say and all that stuff. No, it's a deeper clarity of who you are in Christ, in the kingdom. See, remember that individual identity? You are in Christ, who you are, you're made, and that group identity? the church is saying, hey, you have this depth of, you're in a different economy. So you may be a U.S. citizen or a citizen of another country, and that passport, that green card, or that visa, whatever it says, that is your physical nationality right now and here today in the physical. But when you say yes to Jesus, not only do you get a new life and a new identity, you get a new economy. You get a new kind of structure of law that you operate under. So he said, I want you to deepen the clarity. I want you to understand that you walk under a new economy. And see, many of us, because we, including myself, we're addicted to talking, podcasts, and sermons. And so many of us, we don't need more sermons. We need clearer sight. And yes, I am saying that as the one preaching to you. Because I'm going to use the sermon to try to push you to encounter more. Don't just listen to me. Don't just listen to podcasts every day. Go and open up God's word. Get a pen, whatever you got to do, and engage God yourself. God speaks still. Through his Holy Spirit in us, he still speaks. And when we just want to encounter God through other people, that's third party, second hand. And you guys know how well that information does. You may get it right, you may not. In other words, our spiritual prescription needs to be updated. Why? Because God just doesn't inform you. He reveals. Look at all the examples in Scripture. He revealed himself. Hey, Noah, why don't you build a boat? A what? Well, let me explain this to you. Why? This stuff called rain, water's coming. Really? I've never seen that before. Okay, poof, there's water. Earth's flooded. Hey, Moses, why don't you go burning bush? Hey, let my people free. Part the waters, pillar of fire, column of smoke. He's revealing. Oh, by the way, Daniel, you're going to honor me. You're not going to give in to the king's desires. Oh, you're going to get locked up, thrown into the lion's den. Oh, Daniel, you're still alive. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you read that story. Hey, guys, got a really warm place for you. Hold up. They are in there, and there's a fourth one in there. God's revealing, look at to all of Scripture, God is revealing himself in the New Testament, Matthew. Read all the genealogy of the first chapter of Matthew. And it's like, going through all these people, and Jesus. John 1:14, and the word became flesh. That is revealing. God says, you know what? I gave you the stone tablets. I gave you law. I gave you pillars of fire. I gave you smoke. I gave you parted seas. I gave you miracles in the Old Testament. I gave you prophets. I gave you incredible stuff. You know what? I'm going to come down there myself. Because our God is a God of revealing. Because seeing changes everything. Look at the miracles in the New Testament. When not only do we have the Word became flesh, God incarnate, He, Emmanuel, God with us. He came here. And then he did miracles. Go, okay, you guys don't want to believe I'm the Messiah? Well, watch this. Water, wine, poof, good party trick, right? Hey, Lazarus, I know they said you're dead. You're smelling a little bit. Why don't you come on out, Lazarus? Like seeing changes. Can you imagine being there going, who is this fool right here? This dude has been dead for 4 days, and he's calling that like, is he on something? And here comes Lazarus. Seeing change the miracle. Even he told Thomas, remember that doubting Thomas I mentioned earlier? He said, Thomas, come see and touch. Our God is a revealing God. He's like, I want you to see, not just hear the information. I want you to experience me. So what does Paul say he wants us to see? Well, there's three things. He wants us to see the hope of his calling, that you may know the hope, that your future is secure. There are so many things that are waffling and temporary, but our hope in Christ is secure, is that our life has direction, and your story is not random. We can feel that, right? There are some days I'm like, really, Lord? You're in this. You designed this. This feels totally just random. Because we struggle sometimes that our future is not locked by your past. Your near past or your far past. You're not locked into that. In the things we do, we have an amazing team of people today. We got people gone, traveling. We have an incredible amount of people that come in here and get all this stuff set up. Our kids, the beautiful kids workers and volunteers that are back there right now. We have all these people that serve together. And sometimes we forget that what you're building matters eternally. It matters. Setting up this mic stand and this mic and these little things with red knobs, all this stuff matters. We set up the coffee. We have the stands. It matters. It's not the main thing, but it matters. Because I see visitors in here today, and I hope that you'll come back because you matter to us. His word through us and to you matters. So all this stuff matters. Remember the best movie? Not the second one, but Gladiator the one. What you do echoes in eternity. It may not be in the Bible, but it matters. Because what you do echoes in eternity. Because your story is going somewhere. And I think many of us, we get caught up in this. My wife and I just spent a couple days up in the mountains with friends. We love the mountains. She's an East Tennessee girl. Even though I'm from the coast, I've adopted, I love the mountains. There's just something about the mountains. We were there for 2 days with some friends. Like, it's just, I mean, I love Apex. I really do. I love living here. It's great for our kids, great school systems. It's a great place. But some days I'm like, y'all are loud. We'll get up to Blowing Rock and Boone. It's like, On top of that, it was 80 degrees, by the way, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It was like 1,000 degrees here. So it's like that big of a temperature difference. But I think many of us, because we're doing our thing, we're doing what God's called us to do. We're doing our work. We're doing our kids. We're doing the things we got to do. And some of us get this surrendered idea. I'm just surrendering to the eternal Groundhog Day loop. That we wake up, we work, we come home, we sleep, wash, rinse, repeat. And if you have kids or whatever sport activity, just plug that in here. It's the same loop. I get it. I've got four of them. They're all big now, 18 to 24. They're home for the summer, so pray for me because my grocery bill. Hey, Drew, can I borrow a couple of 5 packs of bread? Because holy cow, they eat. Goodness gracious. That's what happens when you have 2 college football players and 2 former college athletes and the daughters. Like, can I set up a GoFundMe for groceries? Like, it's crazy. I get it. Like, you get on that loop. There's a lot of stuff going on. And parents, just a little aside. It's a little aside. Enjoy the moments. Enjoy the moments. Because my biggest mistake was obsessing over the accomplishments at times. And when you obsess over the accomplishments, you miss the beautiful scenery of the journey. That's what Jesus told Mary and Martha. Martha's obsessing over the getting it done. And Mary's sitting at his feet enjoying the journey in the moment. And he says, she's chosen the better thing. Because your life and your kids' lives, they're going somewhere, but just don't be in a hurry. Because one day, you're going to need a Costco membership for all the kids that are coming home and eating like crazy. The riches of inheritance. He wants to see the hope, but he wants us also to see the riches of his inheritance, his glorious inheritance. This isn't just what you get from God. We focus on the gimme, gimme, gimme. It's not just what you get from God. It's how God sees you. We need an orientation of, like, how does God see you? We have an inheritance. We have a hope and a glory and a future, but you are his inheritance. The singular you of how he's created you and made you in his image and likeness. But we have the plural inheritance, the church. We're the bride of Christ. So we are his inheritance. And you may not feel valuable, but you are valuable to him. And that has nothing to do with confidence, because there's a lot of us in this room that can manufacture confidence. But we truly don't feel valuable. Some of us feel overlooked. Maybe you've been that person since you were a kid. You just felt like you were, like, people talked above you, talked around you. You were overlooked. You really couldn't be heard. Right now, he's looking right at you. He designed you with purpose and distinction and majesty. He took time to design and develop you. Even if you feel like you're alone in public, you're not overlooked. Remember, your life is going somewhere. We all have gifts, talents, and abilities. And just because you're the loudest one in the room like me doesn't mean that you aren't any more valuable. Sometimes I need to be the more quieter one in the room. Amen, family. You can amen that one. Okay, I didn't say it to other people. Matt, thank you, Matt. Who invited you? Maybe you feel forgotten. I know sometimes you've been an extrovert. Sometimes I feel forgotten. Like, you know, the text, the emails, where, like, sometimes you just feel forgotten. He has not forgotten you. We live in the already, but the not yet. We've already been saved in Christ. But the not yet of the future glory is coming. You are not forgotten. Maybe you still feel ashamed or insecure, guilty, whatever is in your life. We all have stuff we bring to the table. Yeah, we can grow old and we can do things and we can manufacture certain things, but sometimes we feel ashamed. We have these places of moments of by ourselves and we feel insecure. And he's saying, hey, you are his inheritance. Remember the riches of his glorious inheritance that you are, because you matter more than you think. Why? Because God doesn't just save you. He treasures you. Do this for me for a second. Close your eyes. Your wallet's safe, I promise you. Just close your eyes. Think of something, someone that you treasure. Not just like, not just value, but you treasure. It is a treasure to you. You got how you're feeling about that treasure? God treasures you. He doesn't just tolerate you. He doesn't just like you. You are a treasure to him. You can open your eyes. See that. Remember that. That you are treasured by the God of the universe who spoke. We talk about billions and billions. The God of the universe literally spoke molecules into being. He spoke the universe. It's crazy. Like, if God stops thinking about us, poof, we're gone. Like, he's like, that's crazy. And that God of the universe treasures you and I. He wants us to see the greatness of his power, the immeasurable greatness of his power. What is this power? Well, it's not vague spirituality, right? The ethereal Tom and Jerry. Anybody ever grow up on Tom and Jerry or see the reruns? It's not the harps and the wings and the clouds and this ethereal kind of mindset. It's not this vague spirituality. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It is the same power that clothed Moses with his glory and the mountain with his glory of the cloud. It's the same power that wrote the Ten Commandments on the stone. It's the same power that saved Daniel from the lion. Dead, got those guys out of the fire. It's the same power that split the waters. It's the same power that throughout all of history, and it's the same power that said, hey, son, Jesus, go down there. It's the same power when Jesus died, gave his life for us. It's the same power that on the third day, he kicked that door open and he walked out the tomb. The same power is in us now. That's Romans 8:11, by the way, if you want to look it up. It's not just vague things. And why do we need to really see the immeasurable greatness of his power? Where there's so many of us, we walk around with addictions. Now, in this group, we're going to filter addiction through, well, I'm not a crack addict. Let me take you a little bit further. You don't have to be that type of addict. We can be addicted to our work. We can be addicted to our hobbies. We can be addicted to perfection and how we get it done. We can be addicted to our kids, our family. The addiction doesn't have to be this dark alley type, needle in the arm type mindset. No, we can be addicted to a lot of things. And we need to get a revelation and an awe for his immeasurable greatness and power. Because that's the only way you're going to fight that stuff. We all have some level of fear in here, whether it's fear of your kids, because I know when you have little kids, but also what do they get licensed, mom and dad? Your prayer life will increase. We have fear of maybe what the money's going to look like, or acceptance, or fear of climbing the ladder, or fear of accomplishment, or fear like just these little fears. They kind of remind us because we're always in the frame of comparing all the time. We have that in our culture. Our culture is right in front of us. Here's what they're doing. Why don't you do the same? And so little fears get in there. We get on these cycles too. A cycle is when you keep ending up where you said you wouldn't go. Ever been there? You've tried to change, but you end up back in the same place, the same habit, the same struggle, the same regret over and over and over again. But we need a vision of his immeasurable greatness and all his power if we want to break addictions, fears, cycles, and then our emotional wounds. Every one of us in this room, we're never going to leave this life not wounded in some capacity. And so his power, his immeasurable greatness, they get us over the mommy and daddy wounds. They get us over the relational disappointments. They get us over when we got cut in eighth grade from whatever team you got cut from and it demoralized you. His power and his riches get us over those places we've been bullied. We've been overlooked. His power and his riches and his greatness is what gets us past all the wounds that the enemy is always digging on. That's why the enemy is such... I'll keep it PG. He's annoying. Let's just keep it there. He's always digging on those things. His greatness, his power. Because what feels impossible to you is not impossible to him. You ever feel like there's things in your life that are stronger than you? The job maybe you have, those deadlines, those projects, they feel stronger than you. Some days the traffic around here feels stronger. I know some of you homeschool your kids. Ever feel like those days are really strong? Maybe just some of you got little kids, and some days that six-year-old is stronger than you. Amen. Some days it's just, I'm just trying to plan a vacation. And this is, holy cow, my wife and I are going to take our first cruise on our anniversary this year, our 30th anniversary. Like it sounds fun, but like it's a lot of planning. What in the world? It's almost not making it not fun. Like, what do I do? Get Dramamine, put this thing behind your ear. I'm like, ah. Just sometimes it feels strong. Just even the simple things feel stronger than you. Every day, sometimes you walk out the door and the heat and humidity in North Carolina, like, whoa, oppressive. Just all sorts of stuff can feel stronger than us. But here's a beautiful, beautiful testimony I hope you catch vision of. What feels stronger than you is not stronger than Him. See, God's power is greater than your pattern. You're not fighting this thing alone. And that's something, whether you're a pastor or not, we all need to not just hear that you're not fighting alone. We need to see the revelation of that truth. We need to see it, that you're not fighting alone. Just look at this room right here. Yeah, we don't have 1,000 people up in here, but you're not fighting alone. I got my brothers in here. I'm not fighting alone. Matt, we're not fighting alone. We may fight each other. It's okay. I'll swing on you, brother. We're not fighting alone. Just look at what's around you. He's given us things right in front of our face. Like, hey, do you see it? Do you see it? I've given you the resources. I've given you my, if you said yes to Jesus and you've been saved, I've given you my power inside of you. That same power that raised my son from the dead, you have access to that. You're not a powerless, overlooked Christian. You're not forgotten. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in these loops of cycles that are destructive. You're not fighting alone. Verse 20, and the worship team can head on up. It is Jesus over everything. Paul says this in verse 20, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Just simply, he is seated above all the powers. He has authority over all things. And he is the head of the church. I'm not the head of this church. Pastor Kobe's not the head of this church. Our senior leadership team's not the head of this church. Our serve team leads are not the head of this church. Jeez, that's not just to be cliche and kind of overly hyper-spiritual. We believe what this says. Jesus is the head of the church. The local us and the global us. Past, present, future. And so we're trying to model him. We're trying to do what he did, say what he said, be what who he was. We're trying to be Jesus because he is our head. Because nothing in your life outranks Jesus. Your spouse does not outrank Jesus. Your kids do not outrank Jesus. Your past, your pain, even your situation does not outrank Jesus. Your successes, your talents, your treasures, they do not outrank Jesus. Even while we talk about tithing and giving, you're like, oh, just churches want money. No, it's because nothing in our checkbook and our wallet and our IRA and whatever, our investments, our stocks, none of that stuff outranks Jesus. Nothing in our life outranks Jesus. Because Jesus is above what you're under. The president, each election cycle, whether you like him or not, Jesus is above. All the immigration enforcement stuff, that's all the taboo talk out there, Jesus is above. Your boss, amen, Jesus is above. Maybe you are the boss. He's still above you. Taxes, inflation, the stinking gas prices. Jesus is above. He's above the war in Iran. He's above all the wars that have ever been. And he's above all the wars that will come. He's above all of it. And I know we say that like Christian cliche, but we operate a lot of times. How we live our lives tells everyone around us what we believe about God. Do you believe that Jesus outranks everything in your life? Or is he just some ethereal construct and you feel really good about yourself because you made it to a church service today? I ain't mad at you. I'm glad you're here. And we'll walk with you even through that. Because I'd rather you be here than somewhere else. But Jesus is above what you're under. There is no higher authority than him. That's the same Paul, Apostle Paul, that wrote the letter to this church. He wrote other letters, about 75% of the New Testament. And he wrote another letter to the church at Colossae, and he said this about Jesus being higher. And he is the head of the body. We've established that, the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Jesus simply is supreme. I don't want you just to hear it. I want you to live it. I want you to see it. Because where have we been today? It's just simply, you have hope. He's given us hope. Hope in a future, but also hope now. I mentioned this in our couple of series ago. We get to participate in his resurrection and his union right now. Your life is not just a hope later on. Man, I can't wait till that day happens. No, that day is coming, but you have a right now resurrection, a right now participation with him. You have a union and power. You have hope in that today and tomorrow. You have value. And I don't care what your stock portfolio looks like or if you've screwed up your entire life. Both of you have more value than what those experiences and situations say about you. You have value that transcends what other people say about you and what you even think about you. Remember, you are a new person with a new economy and a new people and a new future and a new hope and a new inheritance that is beyond being an American citizen. It is beyond your professional capabilities. You have value that supersedes, and if you only see yourself in relation to what you can accomplish and what you can do and what your stock portfolio looks like or how many big words you can say, then you are missing so much of the value, God. He's like, you're my treasure, and but yet you want to be around the dust and the mites? Because that's what happens when you see yourself only in value in relation to everybody else around you and the things you've accomplished and done or what everybody else is doing, how you can jump through those hoops. You're my treasure. He chose you in spite of you. But none of this is going to change your life until you see it. So I'm going to keep preaching it, and I'm going to keep praying that the eyes of your heart will be opened, that you don't just hear it, that you see it. I was doing a little bit of quiet time this morning myself, and I put this in my notes because it was reminding me. It was reminding me of places I need to see. Paul, again, said this in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Just listen. Not that I have already obtained this. We're not complete yet. Y'all know that, right? Where I've already arrived, or that I've already arrived at my goal. But I, listen to this. Listen to the revelation, the vision of this. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That is not a life of information. That is a life of vision. That is a life of revelation. Is that we strain forward, not behind. We press on and aggressively into what he's called us into. It is not about us trying harder or doing more. It's that we ask that God open our eyes so we have the spirit of revelation and we have all for his power as a measurable greatness. And so like we do pretty much most weeks, we're going to take 2 minutes and just listen to God. And here's your prompt. Your prompt is just simply for the next 2 minutes. God, help me to see what's already true. What's already true in what's been spoken today? What's already true about you? What do you need to dismiss in your life right now and strain forward and not look back? So take the next 2 minutes, and I'll close this out, just to simply ask, God, help me to see what's already true. Heavenly Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done today in our lives, here on earth as it is in heaven. Father, by your Holy Spirit, open the eyes of our heart that we see the revelation of who you are and the truth that you've already given us. That we just not hear information, but that we see revelation. Holy Spirit, give us the distraction-free sight, the kingdom sight, the revelation of who we are, the treasure that we are, the power that we have access to in you. Holy Spirit, fall on our worship even more. Father, we come to you. And Father, I beg you for your power and your presence, that this church, Antioch Apex, that you'll go before us, that we'll be marked by you, that they'll know that we are yours. I don't want to be known for our preaching, our worship, our Sunday morning service, Father. We want to do those things well, Father. I want to be known. I want people to say that church is full of the Holy Spirit, and that church encounters God. So, Father, let us be a people who encounter you, who live on mission for you. Help us to catch a glimpse and see it today. In Jesus' name. See, you don't need a different life. You need open eyes to the life you already have in Christ. So we're going to worship. Some of our prayer team is going to be down front. We do this. One, I want you to encounter God how you need to encounter God. So you want to kneel where you're at. You want to come down here and get space. There's nothing magical about this front area. It's just more room. Or maybe you're like, you know what? I'm kind of stuck in some things. I'd love for somebody to pray with me. Well, we'd love to pray with you. It's not about your information and just knowing your information. We're just here to support you. So if you want somebody to pray with you, we'd love to. Prayer team, be up here. I'll be sitting down here. Just hang out with you. We just want to help you encounter God. Thank you, guys.